This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
Sam Kerr recently called a police officer a stupid white bastard, allegedly, after a night out in London in January 2023. She's pleaded not guilty in court to a charge of racially aggravated harassment. And the incident has raised a discussion about what actually constitutes racism. So is referring to anyone's skin colour racism? And if not, what does? Mario Poyka is Associate Professor and Principal Research Fellow at Victoria University. Mario, welcome to Drive.
Hello.
Now,
how are you?
Mario, Sam Kerr allegedly used the term white, referring to the police officer's race. What does the charge of racially aggravated harassment mean in the UK?
Okay, well, that's British law, so I have to admit that I'm not a legal expert in British law, not even in Australian law, but it is there's a racial element. And so that's the first part, racially aggravated. And the harassment is a freestanding, basically, offence in itself, but it would be racially aggravated because there's a racial element in that. So we could actually discuss whether it was even harassment, because previous court rulings have said that there must be at least two occasions. So we can already question whether it's harassment. But I think the question that you are asking is more about that racial element in this.
So if it's true, I mean, was it racist if it's true?
First of all, she said it was a stupid white cop, just for the record.
Right.
Not sure what she really said, but there's still a reference to a racial reference in that alleged statement. Racial, yes. So there's no doubt that calling someone a white cop is a racial element, but it is not racist, because this would not be racism against a white cop. I know that's a big debate in Australia, whether what's the difference between racial and racist, but I think it's an important difference, and it's really an opportunity to discuss what racism really is, beyond sort of a trivialized version of what many people seem to have in their heads when they hear that.
I agree. How do we define racism? What is it?
So racism is the shortest definition in the academic space would be that it is prejudice plus institutional power. That some in the 80s and 90s, that's what some academics have sort of narrowed it down to. It's sort of a simplistic way of describing it, but it indicates that it is more than prejudice and bad behavior of individuals, interpersonal discrimination, for example. You don't give someone a job because he's of whatever, race, Asian background. That's, of course, a form of a manifestation of racism, but there is more to it. And these prejudice and unequal treatment, they come from somewhere. They're not in a vacuum. And this is something is sort of a racial hierarchy, implicit often. For people of color, it's quite explicit in their daily life often, but there's a power imbalance between, generally speaking, not between each individual, but generally speaking, between those who are put sort of on a higher level on that racial hierarchy and those who are put further down. And these hierarchies are hundreds of years old. They obviously always shift, but fundamentally they are still in place and shape our sort of intergroup relations and how we engage with each other.
Something that I've often wondered about, I mean, you know, we often hear the term, particularly when we landed people on the moon, you know, we hear the reference, the human race, and there's one human race. And
there is one, yeah.
All of a sudden we got from one race to multiple races. How did that all happen?
Well, it happened. It's not so obvious that there might be different races. There is only biologically, there's no doubt that there's only one human race. Mm. And there have been times without that, different races. And it's actually a relatively recent development, maybe 400 years old, developed when European colonial powers decided to spread their wings into the world and exploit certain parts of Africa and other parts of the world. They were mainly Christian, so they needed some kind of justification for their colonial exploitation, including slavery. So they basically just came up with the idea that these black people, for example, in Africa, are a different, a lower race. And there's a superior race, which would be the white race. And that would justify unequal treatment, slavery, basically questioning their equal humanity, their equal human dignity, because they are a different race. That was the argument. And this has established racial hierarchies with, you know, who is at the top and who is at the bottom. And it still shapes our thinking in many ways. Even if it's implicit, there's often this discussion about an implicit bias. These biases, they come from somewhere. And our societies are structured around those hierarchies that are connected to different power, institutional power. I mean, when you look at who are the decision makers in Western countries, in Australia, they are mainly white. Mm. I'm not saying that they are all racist, but there is a reflection of a racial hierarchy in that.
So the solution, therefore, is to get more diversity in our institutions. Is that correct?
Well, there's not one solution, I'd say, but this would certainly help. Institutional racism or structural racism is defined as something that doesn't change when you take out a person. The system itself remains. So, for example, when we look at police violence in the US or racial profiling also in Australia, that happens even when the police officer is black. So it's not necessarily just as important as representation is to change the system slowly, but it is not an automatic change and like a fix to everything. We had a black like an African American president in the US, and that was not the end of racism in the US, although it was sometimes discussed. So there's more to it, but representation, I don't want to, you know, sound like this is not really super important. It is, isn't it?
What about people who are claiming that being anti-white is just reverse racism? How does that work?
Well, it's an interesting one, because I can understand that some people who feel sort of left out, white people who feel left out, socially marginalized, maybe that they also want to claim sort of a bit of a victim status there. They might be disadvantaged in many different ways, but they are not racially disadvantaged, because the societies are still structured around structured along many lines, but also along racial lines, and white people or whiteness is then still the norm, and they still have sort of the power to look down at black people. That has always been a discussion, even during slavery, that those who were socially marginalized in the US, for example, they still had the privilege to feel superior to the black slaves in a way. So I understand where it's coming from, but if we apply a more complex and more nuanced definition of racism, then it simply doesn't hold, because the power imbalance is not a societal power imbalance is simply not there.
If we look at what happened, allegedly with Sam Kerr, and we look at people who claim, you know, that it's reverse racism, could the publicity around this incident and similar ones provide fuel to white supremacists who don't understand what racism actually is? And then we end up, you know, maybe I'm drawing a long bow here, but we end up with someone like Donald Trump in office, you know, as a result.
Reverse racism basically claims that white people are the victim. And this is actually not as uncommon. It's not a majority view in white circles, if I can say that. But it is not completely outrageous to hear that. We hear that relatively frequently. It comes up again and again. And there is a link to white supremacy. I mean, there's a link between racism and white supremacy in itself already, because it's actually not so different. When I spoke about the racial hierarchies, it is basically a manifestation of an ideology where white is superior. That's what Australia was built on, in a way, the modern colonial Australia. There were, very famous people, politicians. They basically expressed those views quite openly in the early 20th century, 1901.
And we had the White Australia policy too.
Yeah, we had the White Australia. That was quite explicit there. But there were also statements in Parliament that explicitly excluded people of colour, black and yellow, it was called back then, from the idea of democracy. They said it's actually, we have to exclude them in order to protect democracy. That is actually, that was actually a statement in Parliament. The far right, obviously, or the white, extreme right-wing groups, they cultivate this in a very political and targeted way. That's true. That white people are the victims, reverse racism, on steroids in a way. White white replacement, white genocide. This is all the becoming political terms that are linked to reverse racism, not exactly the same, but it's sort of a politicized hardcore version of that.
Mario, before we run out of time, and I know you're not an expert on UK law, but what impact, I suppose, socially would the court case have if it fails?
Oh, if it fails, so in the sense that Sam Kerr is found not guilty.
No, if she's found guilty.
Oh, if she found guilty, oh, I mean, it would really question the whole idea of what anti-discrimination law and anti-racism legislation is there for. It was implemented in the 70s, in the UK even earlier, 60s and 70s, to protect marginalized groups. And if that's not the case anymore, then it would actually really question the fundamental of anti-racism work that we have ahead of us. And there's a lot, lots of other things that we need to do and address in racism. That's the last thing that we need to get this backlash and pushback.
Mario, great to chat with you. Thanks for joining us on Drive.
Thank you. Wonderful. Thank you very much.
That's Mario Poyka, bye-bye, Associate Professor and Principal Research Fellow at Victoria University.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.